All right, from Roger, it says, as I was with Moses, seeing 2020 into the future, I just returned from the winter advance that was held for Spokane, Washington. It was a great weekend. If you have never attended, you might consider going next year. Even with 2020 vision, usually we can only see what is right in front of us. To see further into the future than today, we may have to look at the past. Interesting. My generation is growing older. Some of the generation that follows us may feel some apprehension at what they perceive to be a loss of wisdom and insight that we provide about God's Word and life in general. Others in the past in God's Word have felt the same way. You could look at several examples like Solomon following David, Elijah following Elijah, Timothy following Paul. But one of the one I chose this time is Joshua following Moses. Joshua was one of the two men that believed God's promise of giving the promised land to Israel. And as a result, he not only did not die in the 40 years in the wilderness, he became Moses' understudy, servant, and personal assistant. The other one was Caleb, right? Remember? But there came a day when Moses, the servant of God, the lawgiver, the great intercessor for God's people, the friend of God, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, it says in Exodus 33, and a prophet was about to die. Joshua was to step into the shoes of Moses. Joshua 1:1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That was 1-9. You can see from this record the great apprehension Joshua must have had about stepping into the shoes of Moses. He had seen Moses write the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. He'd seen Moses stand up to Pharaoh and deliver Israel out of Egypt. He was by Moses' side when he defeated kings in battle in the wilderness. Now it was his turn. He would have learned a lot about walking with God and for God by observing the life of Moses. Still, God had to remind him that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God no longer needed the books of Moses written. Israel had been delivered from Egypt, but now God needed Joshua to divide the promised land for the tribes and help them claim their inheritance in the land of Canaan. God is not a respecter of persons, says in Acts 10, but he does respect those that believe and carry out what he said. So how does one generation prepare to take the place of leadership that their fathers, leaders, mothers, mentors have passed away? Here are some suggestions. Study the Word of God for yourself. This could include listening to classes or digital teachings, reading about the lives and teachings of great men of God like E.W. Bullinger, Smith Wigglesworth, Dr. Spurgeon, and Dr. Werwell. Practice the operation of the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues a lot. Ask God to teach you how He works within you. And find men who walk with God and hang out with them and copy their example of their renewed mind. It says in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for examples. Obviously, we do not follow their mistakes or where they fall short, but we do follow them where they walk according to the Word of God. In other words, you simply continue to develop yourself and develop your walk with God. Then remember, when that day comes, as it will come if the Lord tarries, God will be with you. walk, and talk with you, just as he has with those that went before you. The situations you face may be different, but God is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the faithful God. This is Seeing 2020, down the road into the future. This is life, a part of the prosperous life. That's good, huh? Now, that if you don't get these, rogerbreaker.com, and get the blog regularly. That whole thing is the prosperous life. He's sending them out more regularly now. So if you don't have those, you might want to have those. All right, I promised you I'd share with you what I was going to share with you when I was sharing with you. So if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9. It's kind of offered you a little bit of that closing just for you to think about it. So we'll wrap it up here shortly. In Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 14, I read you this if you were there last weekend or listening, and we'll just read it again. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man puts a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up takes from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Then let's look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, let's start in verse 33. This is Luke's record of the same incident. "And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast off and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" Your disciples eat and drink. "And he said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake a parable. He spake also a parable unto them. No man puts a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new makes a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires new, for he said, the old is better." Mm-hmm. Now here in these two that we can sandwich together, mush together, it's disciples of John, it says in Matthew, and then in Luke, it was the disciples of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, if you read up a bit, that's who he was talking to. So what was the real question they were asking him? The real question they were asking him is, why are you different? That was the real question. Why are you different? You are doing things different. The Pharisees were law-abiding, you know, strict. And here John also had a ministry that was kind of strict. John, think about it. Where does it say John was? He was out in the wilderness, and what? People came to him, right? They traveled out there to the Jordan to be baptized. What about Jesus? Here, Jesus was not fasting and not making a show of long prayers and etc. He was going village to village. He was traveling around. Different, right? But it was just the ministry that they had, not the word that they spoke. And I showed you that briefly. If you look at Matthew chapter 3, and in verse 1, Matthew 3, 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And again, he was in the wilderness, and people came out of the cities to hear it, to hear what he had to say. Now, Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and then look at verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, it's the same message. No, it's the same message. Two different guys, and they had two different methods. Now, obviously, John and his ministry didn't last very long, but Jesus and his ministry didn't last very long either. Earthly ministry was very, you know, a year and a bit. But what you need to see, and I know you do, this is very rudimentary, but it was the same word of God, but it was a different method. It looked different. John sounds like he was pissed off all the time. You know, and people had to come out to the wilderness, and he's dressing camel hair, you know, and he sees the Pharisees, you generation of vipers, you know, you get this picture of a real ornery feller, you know, but yet filled with the Holy Spirit from birth and mighty, mighty ministry, preparing the way for the Lord. And then here comes Jesus Christ, and he's, you know, the people he loved and hung out with, Mary and Martha and Lazarus and publicans and sinners and, you know, all these different kinds of people. And he traveled village to village, and he also ordained people, and they traveled around. And then, you know, he did some big meetings too, obviously, right? But you see the difference of them, the difference in them, and that is important. We're not, without looking at it, Moses, you know, we just read about Moses. What was Moses' ministry like? What did he do? Well, think about it, meeting God in, at the burning bush, that introduction, and then growing in his service to and for the one true God, doing that stuff with Pharaoh, all the plagues and all that, leading the people out, getting to the promised land, and then not getting in there. You know, the people refused. 40 years in the wilderness, every day as the boss. You know, this is what we're doing today. This is where we're camping today. And then he died. We just read it. Then what, Joshua, what was his ministry like? What did he do? Well, he started by going into the promised land. And his life and what he had the people of God doing was very different. He was a fighter man. You know, they took Joshua into Jericho, and then Joshua took to Ai, and they fought their way through the promised land and cleaned it up. And in the end of Joshua's life, he had everybody divided, all their counties or their part of the promised land all divided up. He made them swear that they'd stick to the promise of the word. You know, he said, as for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord, and then faded from history. But see, it was the same God that was working with Moses that was working with Joshua. He said it right there, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. But what they did looked different. What they did looked different. You think about, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Again, I'm probably just stating the obvious, but it's something that all of us are thinking about. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This they were the apostles, and then we've worked through the chapter. We know who the they that were listening were, right? They were Israel had come in. And obviously, I said this, and I meant to say it better. When I say everybody had to go up there for Pentecost, obviously not everybody went. You know, there were synagogues in every town and every place where Jews were. But it was, when you think about it, if you lived in Asia Minor, could you caravan to Jerusalem three times a year to be there? You know, it just gets impractical. So I wanted you to understand that when I say these guys from all those places that it talks about, maybe they sent a representative, you know, or something. But I do remember historically the population of Jerusalem swelled gigantically during, especially for Passover. So anyway, that's who they were. And it says here in verse 41, if you skip over to 41 of Acts chapter 2, it says, then they received the word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now this is the apostles in Jerusalem, doing what Jesus Christ taught them to do. They received Holy Spirit and manifested by speaking in tongues. Then they shared what it was and invited others to repent and be baptized, you know, in the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 more Judeans got born again, all in town. Look at Acts chapter 10. I'll bring this back around to make the point. But in Acts chapter 10, you remember in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth. He's with Cornelius here. Of a truth, I perceive God's no respecter of persons. And I think this was like 15 years after Pentecost, I think, approximately. So anybody could have got born again after the day of Pentecost, but and yet this is the first Gentiles to do so. Took that growth time. You can check me on the years. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. There's that fear, Tim. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Just a side note, how many healings did John the Baptist do? Know what I mean? I don't think he did any. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up, third day, showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. For they heard them what? Speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, which they didn't do with water. 11 verse 16 says so. So here, at first, and he mentions it here in this preaching here, first in Jerusalem to the Judeans came this. Now, I perceive God's no respecter of persons. Anybody can do it, and these guys spoke in tongues. So it's the same word preached basically on Pentecost that was preached here in this house with the same result. But look how different it looked. Look how different it looked. Back to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, let's start in verse 12. Back to Jerusalem, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, which is a part of the temple. You know, it's the south side of the temple. And of the rest dared no man join himself to them, but the people magnified him. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now this was all taking place in Jerusalem. They were still using the temple where they first received Holy Spirit. They're hanging out in Solomon's porch. It was a great big open air thing on the south side of the temple. And there were so many of them and so powerful together, nobody messed with them. Nobody dared mess with them. But it was all in Jerusalem. Now we go to Acts chapter 13. And in verse 1, this is about 45 to 47 A.D. So this is, maybe that wasn't 15 years after. We'll have to check that, but this is a ways after Pentecost. Now, in verse 1 of Acts 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John as their minister. And then the record goes on and on and on and on. So those guys were in Jerusalem doing what God wanted them to do in Jerusalem at the first. And look at this. Now, God, Holy Spirit, is telling these guys to hit the road. Go travel in all these towns and take this word. All over. There's a little synagogue in every town. Go there to start, because they knew that open door was there, and then see what I got for you. You see the difference? Now, there was still some stuff going on in Jerusalem. Paul's out here moving the word among the Gentiles, and he gets back and kind of gets across purposes with those guys, the legal guys that were in Jerusalem. You know this. I mean, this is no new news. The same word of God, but here are these different methods. Eventually, we know from history that all the apostles either died or left town. James, Jesus' half-brother, apparently ran the thing there in Jerusalem, and he stayed there probably until they martyred him out. I don't know. But initially, there was that great outreach of the word there in Jerusalem, and people came to Jerusalem to get the word and to get healed and what it says there. But then God had to change that method. Jerusalem imploded on itself. But yet all those born-again ones were there, all those children of God, the body of Christ there. But then God took that and went out and away. We're a result of that going out and away. Okay? And the great mystery was revealed to Paul as he was ministering and teaching. He was given the revelation for what really happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's what he taught people. And so that revelation, the great mystery that the one body, anybody could get in if you believe and have him, you know, make him Lord and be your Savior, that word, again, that's how we got in. Now, the point I was making, sitting with y'all at Winter Advance, was pretty elementary. Lots of our teachers made reference to Dr. Wirbel. Lots of our teachers made reference to Rock of Ages, Power for Abundant Living. We know from God's word that us gray-haired individuals have a responsibility to tell the younger people what we did and what we saw and what we witnessed. That is true from the word. Joshua said, put 12 rocks here, so that when the kids walk by in the next generation, they say, "Dad, what are those 12 rocks here for?" And then you can tell them, this is where we crossed the Jordan. God made all this dry ground. I'm not kidding. That really happened. Well, we do that all the time. We talk about Dr. Werwell. We reference him. But my point is, in looking out at y'all, and I counted how many gray-haired individuals were there as opposed to how many people had their natural color. And it was about half. I counted 22 young folks. And I don't know what registration was. But what's going to happen is Titus will have a very foggy remembrance of a Rock of Ages, no remembrance at all, of a Power for Abundant Living, of a Dr. Werwell. We'll, in the future, they will reference Dr. Werwell like they reference Dr. Bollinger. And us, we need to understand that. We talked about the great work that Jessie's doing down there. How often does she bring up Dr. Werwell? It's irrelevant. Do you understand? It will be more irrelevant going forward. However, we have a responsibility to talk about the Rock of Ages. You know, we were a part of this larger thing once, and it was righteous. Will said it so well in his teaching. Talking to Kelly, you know, you'll hear a lot of things about Dr. Werwell, but this is all you need to know. God asked Dr. Werwell to teach his word, and God would teach him like it hasn't been known since the first century. That's all you need to know about that. And that is still true today. You and I have the privilege of knowing the Word of God like it hasn't been known in the first century. Kathy and I talk about all the time, growing up in various churches, how little you don't know. You know, you just don't know stuff. Well, here's this Word. Any one of you guys could open this book and go cover to cover and share it accurately with a newbie. You could just, isn't that amazing? Yeah. And most people, even Christian, it's a closed book. It's too mysterious. Anyway, you see, the methods that you and I grew up with were different. Donnie used to run states. You know, he had all these people in his state. He'd travel around and teach and do stuff. We don't do that now. You know, I don't do that now. And Tim really inspired this. He came over to talk to Roger and Mike, and he said, you know, you guys have really been important to me, but you talk about a ministry that was worldwide, that had every resource available to it, that had publications and music and transportation and building and all of this fantastic stuff. He says, I will never know what that's like. And we did. I mean, you could hitchhike from here to Florida and stay at a believer's house all the way across the country. That's what we did. And, you know, I'm sorry. We screwed it up, honestly. And the way we screwed it up is we stopped looking to God, looked at the ministry. You know, every fellowship around the world started their prayer time with, please bless the trustees. And, you know, little kids are like, what's a trustee? We did that, you know. But we're not going to do it again. You know, we're not going to do that again. What we'd like to give for you guys that are rising up and for your children is that Word of God that hasn't been known since the first century, that you can understand it like we've been able to understand it, and more, and better, and bigger. That's what we have to do going forward. So like I said over there, half of us met Dr. Orwell, and you guys won't. But going forward, what's important, just like you said before he died, I'm so thankful that so much of my stuff has been recorded and written down so you can reference it. And that is so true, so true. And in our present day, it looks very different, these classes that we have. There's no jokes in them, maybe one. I mean, we grew up with a very colorful, powerful man who walked with God and loved people like crazy. And love to be with people. Well, the teacher now that we work with doesn't get out much. You know, teach at least right now, teaches it bare bones. And you get it or you don't. It's not about personality. You know, we supply the personality where we live, right? So that's what I wanted to wrap the weekend with. We have to see 2020 going forward. We have to see the legacy that we have and what we can legitimately pass on solidly. I think Reverend Steve James wrote me a note, and he said it really good in his note. He just said he was so blessed to see so much rightly divided Word of God. I thought, wow, that's not just a catchphrase. You really did that when you taught. You really did that. It was solid. The Word. And wherever you have the Word, there you have power. You have God. Because God will back up His Word. Said it today. And that's what we want. We want Titus and James and the rest of them to be able to grow up and say, thus saith the Lord, with confidence. You know, it's not right to be an idol worshiper or whatever. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. The Seahawks are not that good. I was fixing this guy's house. In one of his rooms over on Crown was a shrine to the Seahawks. What? The whole room. Like candles burning. What? What is that? That's just like the Old Testament people. So we just don't do that. So, God bless you. It was a great winter, Vance. And now let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your Word, and thank you for this great life we live. Thank you, Father, that your Word and your truth transcends all administrations, all ministries, all times. And that the way that things used to be done are not done that same way now, and yet your word is still that word which delivers people and heals people and gives people hope. We're thankful to know what we know. We're thankful to be able to fellowship when we can. And until you tell us different and show us what you'd like done, we will do our best to remain faithful and loving like your word says in Ephesians. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, and going forth into this new year. Thank you for clearing up our vision that we can see as great children of yours, willing to serve and do your will. Please bless us all. Thank you for your healing presence in all of our bodies. And we pray for a wonderful, safe week going forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.